That's the Flaming Lips there with a song that they sang.
It's called the Yeah, Yeah, Yeah song.
There you go.
Hi, good morning.
This is Adam.
Yeah, this is Joe. Welcome to The Breakfast Show here on Six Music. We're with you till 10 a.m. Hope you're feeling very well this morning. Physically and medically, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You should be, because it's a lovely day. It's another nice day. Did you have a good bank holiday yesterday, Joe?
Well, it was quite short for us, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because it started at like 11 a.m. and finished at 9 p.m. I watched a film, though.
What did you watch?
Had a couple of friends around. We projected a film up. It was called The Reaping.
The Reaping.
Yeah.
Is that with Lady Man in it?
Hilary Swank.
Hilary Swank.
Mm. That's a good name to say on a Tuesday morning, isn't it?
And was it fantastic?
No, it was rubbish.
Oh, what?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Listen, I could have told you it was going to be rubbish.
I knew it was going to be. I don't know.
That was one of the two DVDs that you got on some purchase mission, and the other one was what?
Mr. Bean's Holiday. I've seen everything.
What are you like?
I've seen everything.
Why don't you just get like you've got cats, haven't you? Why don't you just watch the cat?
Mr. Bean was quite good.
Playing around with a ball of wool or something. Mr. Bean, I'm sure Mr. Bean was better than...
It was quite... Oh! Like that kind of business.
Does he speak in those films?
Yeah, he does.
It's always a bit weird when they start speaking from nowhere, isn't it? It's like when Tom and Jerry...
What do you mean by they?
The non-talking people.
Yeah.
Like when Tom and Jerry start chatting, you know?
No, he does. Mr. Bean is a really weird film.
I'd like to hear about
it. It's really odd.
Very much indeed. Listen, we've got great music for you. Who's your session by?
My session is by... that's a very good question. Who is my session by? Oh, it's by Corner Shop.
Corner Shop, nice. And it's early Corner Shop,
even. It's early punky Corner Shop,
yeah.
That's
right. People forget that before Corner Shop became a kind of funky unit, they were agitprop. I mean, they were always fairly agit in their props.
Mm.
But, man, they used to be a real shouty little outfit.
Mm, well, it's some shouty track.
You got some shouty Corner Shop. I've got some incredibly mellow Tortoise. Oh. Wonderful kind of mainly instrumental Chicago band. And I'll be playing a Peel session of theirs a bit later on, at least a track from it.
We'll be texting the nation at about 8 o'clock. We're going to have our serial thriller also at 8 o'clock. Everything's happening at 8.
Yeah, before then, it's like a vast desert of triviality and nothingness. But it's filled, there's little oases in the desert of music. And right now, here's one of those. It's the Go Team with Doing It Right. That's the fourth form of St. Wilfrid's Grammar School, and that's their end of year song.
And they'll all be in detention.
And they're all in detention.
Because it was a bit of a mess.
It was a little bit of a mess. They only practiced a couple of days for that.
Mm.
And so that's not bad considering that, but they should have been in practice for at least 2 weeks, and Mrs. Harold is very upset about it.
Harold?
Harold. She's their form teacher. Of course, it was the Go Team with Doing It Right. And this is Adam and Joe here, covering for Sean Keaveney. We've only got, like, 3 more days after this.
I know, it's gone very quickly, hasn't it?
Yeah, and then we're going to be sleeping...
All day.
All day.
And in the street.
And sleeping in the street. It's going to be exciting. Now, I was having some problems this morning with my printer, Joe Cornish, just as I was coming out of the house. You know, obviously I'm on top of everything. I've done some notes for the show.
Well done.
I thought, I'm going to print these notes out, and then I'll have them handy, and I'll be able to refer to them during the radio show that we're doing. And the printer wouldn't do the printing. It did. It's going through a stage right now where it refuses to feed the paper through the actual printing mechanism. So it clicks at me, and the kind of mouth of the thing, you can hear it opening and closing. Do you know what I'm saying? And the paper goes...
What's its problem, do you think?
I don't know what its problem is, but it's a nightmare, and it means that this has been happening now for a year. And it means that most of the time, I have to manually feed the paper through. I have to tease it through.
It's good for you, man. It's good for you.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Like I'm feeding a little bird.
That's what Charles Dickens did.
No, it isn't.
He did.
Really?
He manually fed paper into his Epson.
Into his printer.
Inkjet printer, yeah.
That's outrageous. And listen, I've been thinking, this is more than my life's worth, because it's reached a stage now where this labour-saving device of mine is no longer saving me labour, but actually creating labour for me.
Mm.
It would be simpler for me to write in longhand the things that I wish to print. You know what I mean? It would save me more time. New printer. You'd think that was the solution, wouldn't you?
Mm.
But about a year ago, I went on a cartridge splurge. Yes. And I thought, I'm fed up of running out of ink. I'm going to buy a year's worth of ink cartridges. And it cost me almost £1,000. The ink splurge, you know, because those cartridges are really expensive, yeah? Not for nothing do they, like, hucksters sell those ludicrous syringe devices.
Rip-off ones, yeah.
Where you can refill the cartridges. So I've got about a grand's worth of ink cartridges for this printer that no longer works. And I went online to see if I could find another printer that takes the same cartridges. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So I'm stuck with the same malfunctioning printer that I have to feed like a lame bird every time I want to print something out. It's a total nightmare. And I was just wanting to get it off my chest.
Well, well done, you have.
Thank you.
There we go. More printer news the same time next year. Here's what this it says here, Radiohead. We can only assume it's Radiohead with fake plastic trees. That's a very irresponsible trailer.
It's absolutely disgusting.
It's drawing a comparison between Six Music and some sort of hideous drug that someone would put in your drink in a nightclub.
Exactly. Six Music, the Rohypnol of the Big British Castle. That's what they seem to be saying. Either that, or they're suggesting that it's like some kind of sexual favour.
I've lost all my trust in the media.
So have I.
I used to rely on the media, to be honest.
Well, exactly.
Now it's a corrupt harlot.
You'd watch a telly program and you'd think that's the way it happened.
Yeah, I thought Michael Barrymore was lovely.
They're giving me the facts.
He was the lanky funster running up and down those stairs, pressing those buttons on those TVs.
That's right. And in this documentary, this is an actual representation of what happened. And why would
I thought those were real owls.
Why would they lie? Why?
Why would they lie? Is this true that, you know that BBC program Springwatch?
With Bill Odie.
Yeah. Is it true, listeners, you might be able to tell me this, but they had a season of that, didn't they, earlier in the year?
Yeah.
That at one point during kind of children's television, they cut to some owls, and a big mummy owl and some baby owls.
Right.
And they were talking about how sweet they were, when suddenly the mummy owl picked up the weakest baby owl in its beak. And fed it a lie.
Bad one.
To the other baby owls.
Nobody wants to see
that. Who ripped it into pieces.
This is
what owls do, apparently.
Yeah.
It's the natural way of things. But apparently that kind of went out live on children's television and traumatised a lot of young viewers. Is that true? Listeners, did anybody see that?
A nation of owl fanciers.
Because there's
extinguished.
There's nature's truthfulness, you know, bursting through.
That's a shame, isn't it?
Is that a shame?
Yeah, because owls are lovely creatures. Children love them.
Not that lovely.
You know, not anymore. No one likes to be an owl now, do they? Yeah. What?
The end.
Here's Peter, Bjorn and John. What are you doing?
I'm freestyling.
Over Peter, Bjorn and John.
It's going to be a valuable remix of that song.
Yeah.
I've got a version with Joe Cornish whistling on the end. Doing its freestyle whistling.
No, I haven't. That was Young Folks by Peter, Bjorn and John. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's time now for my session track. This is pulled from the John Peel Sessions archives. And it is by the band Tortoise, who come from Chicago. And I believe that Tortoise have variously featured members of other bands, including Jim O'Rourke, an artist in his own right, who was...
He's very good.
He's great, isn't he? Brilliant solo artist, also produced Wilco and Sonic Youth. Maybe he's like the extra member of Sonic Youth now, I can't remember. And also members of a band called the Sea and Cake.
They're very good as well.
Yeah, they're excellent, an offshoot from
Maybe
Tortoise.
Maybe I'd like Tortoise.
I'm sure you would.
If I like those two.
Their classic album is considered to be an album called Millions Now Living Will Never Die. And Lisa, stop doing the windy hand signal. I'm just explaining who Tortoise are for people who are interested.
Come on.
I'm sure many people are very bored by what I'm saying. Okay, and I know you're one of them. But I'm talking to
wind
the...
It up. Come on, wind it up.
Two people
session track
who are interested in this and taking notes about Tortoise. Right, I'm taking notes. Anyway, this is not from that classic album. It's a track from an album called TNT, which is also amazing. And it's got one of the most long, pretentious names ever in the history of music. But I believe it's taken from a kind of art poem. It's called In Sarah, Mencken, Christ and Beethoven, There Were Men and Women by Tortoise from the Peel Sessions. That's lovely, isn't it?
That is lovely.
It's like a lovely dream. That's a slightly truncated version of Tortoise's Peel Session with a track called In Sarah, Mencken, Christ and Beethoven, There Were Men and Women.
Now it's time for the news on BBC Six Music, read by Nicola and Ruth.
That's Green Day with Welcome to Paradise. This is Adam and Joe here on Six Music. We're filling in for Sean Keaveney for a couple of weeks, and this is our second week. We're having a good time, and we've inherited a number of Sean's features. His swarthy good looks, his long legs. I'm joking, of course. I'm talking about audio features, sonic features, and one of them that he does on this show, we're told, is called Band Aid. And it's some kind of effort to raise money for the third world. Is that? No, that's a different one. This one is about giving bands some airplay on Six Music who wouldn't otherwise receive it. You know, up-and-coming young acts, and one person champions one act, another person champions another act, and at the end of the week, the person with the most votes gets to play their track in its entirety. And that's exactly what we're doing this week. And I'm going to speak to one of our featured artists right now, and we have him on the line. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi. It's what's your name?
My name's Joe Cornish.
Joe Cornish.
And yeah, hi.
Hi. It's exciting. Are you excited to be part of Band Aid this week?
Very, very, very excited just to be on the radio.
Yeah, well, it's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity for a young artist. And perhaps you could tell us a little bit about your track. What's it called, first of all?
Adam, my track's called, it's sort of an ambient techno track.
Yeah.
It's called European Supermarket.
Yes.
And it's kind of a song about what it's like to go abroad to Europe and go into a supermarket, how exciting and confusing it is to go shopping in a supermarket in Europe.
All the different products, etc.
All the products, it can be confusing, and, well, you should just listen to the track. It's really danceable, it's intriguing, it's mysterious, it's kind of a bit like Kraftwerk, crossed with maybe the Pet Shop Boys.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really good.
That's a beguiling sounding mix. Should we have a quick listen to a clip right now?
Yeah.
Won't somebody help me, please? A mini break in Amsterdam. What's the fitting Dutch for ham?
European supermarket.
Oh, that's tantalizing.
That's amazing. Whereabouts in the song does that happen? Is that a clip from the middle there or right at the beginning?
No, that's about, I'd say, 10 seconds into the song.
Yeah. How long is the whole song, if you don't mind me asking?
The song's 2 minutes.
2 minutes?
Yeah, songs are getting shorter because kids get bored really easily.
Sure.
So there's been a sort of agreement across the industry to cut down the length of songs.
Well, that sounds fantastic. Remind us of the name of the track again, Shopping In...
No, it's called European Supermarket, Adam.
European Supermarket.
European Supermarket.
Is that
That's how the chorus goes.
Okay, good one.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Joe Cornish, thanks
vote
very
for me.
Much.
Vote for me.
Vote for Joe Cornish. Thanks
vote
very
for
much
me.
Indeed for talking to us. Very shortly,
thank you very
we'll have our other Band Aid competitor on the phone, and we'll be chatting to them about
Rubbish.
Their track. But right now, here's Katie Tunstall with Hold On.
That was Katie Tunstall with Hold On. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. As Adam was explaining before that track, this morning we're launching an exciting competition. It's called Band Aid. And we'd like you to go to our website. What's the website, Jenny? BBC, www.bbc.co.uk/6music. Log on to our little site there. And we'd like you to vote. We'd like you to choose between two tracks, one of which is by the exciting new ambient techno artist, Joe Cornish. And the other of which is by an artist who I think is on the line right now. Hello, are you there?
Hi, Joe. Yes, hello.
Hello, what's your name?
Hi, my name's Adam Buxton.
Hey, Adam.
I'm from London.
From London. Where are you calling from right now, specifically?
I'm from London.
But where are you actually calling from in London?
Oh, sorry. London.
London, okay. Now, Adam, you've submitted a track that we're going to put up for Band Aid this week here on The Breakfast Show. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, this is a track called Jane's Brain, and it's a rock and roll track. It's got guitars in it, and drums, and a bass, and it's mainly for rocking, and it's a rock track.
Okay, and you wrote this and performed it yourself, Adam?
Yes, it's entirely performed by me, Adam Buxton, and it's called Jane's Brain. And it was inspired by a girl called Jane, and the idea that she might have a brain and she would use it to think about things.
And what was it inspired by?
It wasn't inspired by anything. I just made it up when I first did the music.
Okay, let's hear a little snatch of that record.
She'd use her brain to think of things that she didn't have. She'd think of cars, and she'd think of fancy dresses, and she'd think of big houses, and she'd think of cars.
Wow. So did you hear? That sounds really good, Adam.
Yeah, thanks very much. That's the bit of the song where she's thinking about cars and fancy dresses.
Yeah. And
with
so
her brain.
Did you hear the clip from Joe's track earlier, a few minutes ago?
Yeah, the German techno one. It was about shopping.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
No, I thought it was...
not as good as yours.
Not as good as mine. No offence to Joe. You know, I think he's really good. He's a really good artist.
Mm.
But I don't like that kind of music. You know what I mean? I think it's a little bit for pansies.
So who do you think's going to win in this battle?
Well, I think there's a good chance that Adam Buxton Me could win because I do the rock and people generally like rock.
Yeah. Well, it's not what our polls are showing us, Adam. We got a lot of support for Joe Cornish out there, I think. So you know, prepare yourself.
All right, then. Thanks for having me, though.
To take a blow. Thanks for coming on, Adam. So there we go.
Love you.
Goodbye. There we go, listeners. Log on to www.bbc.co.uk/6music. You can hear both of those snatches of the tracks, and it's a very simple interface. You can vote for your favourite with just one click. We'll be doing this all week, and we'll be playing the winner in full at the end of the week. And now, it's trail time. In session on Gideon Code Show?
Harris in the hub.
That'll be brilliant. Playing live.
There's a party round at my hub.
He's not going to have hugs for us.
Hugs?
Yeah. What? He's only got hugs for you if you were born in the 80s.
Oh.
He likes much younger ladies.
Oh, yeah. We were born in the 50s. We don't get anything except handouts.
Now, it's time for my archive session track. This is my selection from John Peel's classic recordings. This is from January 1993. Now, when I looked down the list, I was excited to see Corner Shop.
Because you love a bit of Tejinder Singh.
I do. But then when I got the actual CD, it was very different from what I expected.
It shocked you, didn't it?
I thought it was going to be sort of noodly, jangly, dancey sort of fun business. And it kind of is,
yeah,
but in a much more punky fashion. And Adam here had to give me a little lesson about the early history of Corner Shop.
Yeah, not that I'm an expert, but I certainly
knew more than me.
I remember them in the old days staring out from the NME as a quite furious little punk outfit.
And this is from those days, you know, with these Peel sessions. He was so prescient, so ahead of his time, so ahead of the curve, that a lot of the bands that one digs out really have a very different sound, a very primitive sound.
Yeah, exactly. This is right at the beginning.
Yeah, so here's Corner Shop. This track's called England's Dreaming. It was recorded on the 17th of January, 1993. Wow, a very different kind of Corner Shop there for you this morning. Not your traditional Corner Shop, more a Corner Shop selling Molotov cocktails, dangerous fireworks, chainsaws, and bother boots.
That's right. But good stuff there, man. From the Peel Sessions, a track called England's Dreaming.
That goes to show you what how artists can develop and change.
It does, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? Because when was their hit? When was Brimful of Asher? What year was it?
97, I think.
97. So that's 4 years between that and Brimful of Asher.
So what you're saying is in that four-year period, they changed.
Yes. Yay.
It's an interesting theory.
But they changed quite a lot, Adam, is what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say to kids out there who might have a sort of a thrashy, unkempt band.
Right, right.
And their mums and dads are going, that noise is awful, you'll never get anywhere. Don't listen to mum and dad.
No, something refined always forms from the sputum.
Exactly. Keep going.
You know, Gorky's were like that as well.
Gorky's really?
Zygotic Monkeys started out sounding very similar to the track you just played, but from Corner Shop.
The Arctic Monkeys are still like that.
Oh, yeah, but they're good at it,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? The thing is to play to your strengths, and Corner Shop obviously realised that, good as they were at that shouty stuff, they were, you know, their calling lay elsewhere, and the Gorky's were the same. They turned into wonderful melodic folksters. And the Monkeys, I hope they never stop shouting, because they're the best at it. That's my personal opinion.
Now, here's a public service announcement to all listeners. We'd like you to get up and feel like being a sex machine.
Ooh. I'm ready to get up and do my thing. Can we hit it and quit?
Yes, you can, James.
That's Jimmy Brown with Get Up and Be Sexy, or whatever it's called.
Get up. I feel like being a sex machine. Do you remember the first time you ever heard that track?
Yeah.
And it was like, wow, this is the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
I went to the record shop and bought a 12-inch that turned out to be a stupid Megamix.
Ooh.
A James Brown Megamix. It was called the Froggy Mix.
In those days, that was in the early 80s, they used to do that all the time, do dreadful Megamixes of things.
But listeners, don't be a sex machine all day. It can be annoying and can get you into legal trouble.
It's dangerous. It is dangerous, exactly. And if you're not properly trained...
No. Make sure you've established an intimate relationship with somebody... first.
Yeah. You can get into all sorts of trouble, and some women get very angry.
Machine-like behavior, generally, it's not good. Try and be a human.
Yes, exactly.
And with that thought, it's time for the news, read by Nicola and Ruth. That's quite an adenoidal performance.
Imagine
there.
Waking up in bed with Corgan.
He's got a very blocked nose. That's the Smashing Pumpkins with That's the Way, open brackets, My Love Is, close brackets.
Would you like some tea?
No,
I'm gonna make some. Would you like some tea? Or maybe a bun? I'm going to the kitchen.
That's how Corgan was.
Is he American? What nationality was he there?
He puts on an American accent.
Does he?
Yes.
Where's he from?
He's from Scunthorpe. He's not from Scunthorpe. He's from London.
It's serial thriller time here on the Adam and Joe Breakfast Show on BBC Six Music. This is the time of the show when we get a caller, a listener, who has called to vote for two tracks back-to-back to give us a chance to have some brekkie.
To have some breakfast, I've got a delicious banana.
You've eaten it already, you BBC liar. Lies! That'll be in the papers tomorrow. Buxton announced he had a full banana, when clearly in plain sight there was a spent banana peel.
Well, you never know. I might have another one in my bag.
It's true.
It's true, isn't
and
it?
You I'd be the liar.
Yeah, then you'd be the liar.
Oh, the big British castle.
Yeah. Now, Chris, are you there?
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Now, you're in Norwich, aren't you?
I'm actually from Norwich. I'm actually in London.
Ah.
Really? Well done. You've made it.
Yeah.
How must it be exciting for you in London? Do you feel dizzy around the big buildings?
It's terribly exciting, yes.
Is it? Choked by the pollutants?
Yeah, a few less farmers, which is a bit disconcerting, but apart from that, it's all very enjoyable.
Norwich is a nice place, though, isn't it? That's where
it's a fine city.
My family-in-law are from, and I like Norwich. I think it's an exciting place. And, Chris, what do you do?
Sound a bit more convincing.
It didn't sound sincere, that, did it? But I actually mean that. I like Norwich a lot. Chris, what do you do now that you're in London?
I'm a journalist.
Ah, what kind of journalist?
Music journalist.
That's not really a real journalist, though, is it, Chris?
Oh, I don't know about that. Someone has to write about these things.
What publication do you write for there, Chris?
I write for Virgin Media.
For their web presence?
Web and WAP, mainly.
And WAP? Ooh,
yeah,
wow.
New media.
Do people use WAP?
Increasingly so.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not a term you hear said a lot, is it?
It was big about
4 or 5 years ago, and then people suddenly stopped saying it.
People say mobile internet these days. It's
do they?
Snappier.
Nobody I know.
Well, WAP, they've got to think of a new phrase for WAP, because it just sounds rubbish. It just sounds like...
suggestions?
WAP.
Well, what is it precisely, Chris?
What does WAP stand for?
Wireless?
Wireless Application Protocol, I believe.
Wireless. Okay, what about space vision?
That's much better.
Yeah, because the pictures and the words come from space.
That's
brilliant.
Much.
I'll cut that to Richard Branson today.
Thanks a lot. If you could, are you mates with Richard Branson?
Sadly, not. No.
I really want to be mates with Richard Branson.
It's got to be easy.
He's got that amazing island. What's it called? Necker.
Necker Island. Yeah.
We met Branson, man. Don't you remember? We were on the plane one time.
We didn't meet him. He went around and sort of papally blessed everybody on the plane.
He happened to be on the same flight as us one time when we were going to America, the land of dreams. And he came down and shook hands with every single person on the flight. I was excited about it. I was really genuinely excited.
It was like a visit from the headmaster. Adam was excited because he knew the plane was much less likely to crash.
That's true. I always feel happier if there's a famous person on board.
Have you met him, Chris?
I haven't, no.
Oh, what's going on?
Now, Chris, we've got an anecdote here about you. This was supplied by you to our producer, and she's transcribed it, and I'm now going to read it out. Chris went to a stag do, and the actor who plays Des Barnes in Coronation Street was there. It wasn't his stag do, nor did he know the stag. He was just there.
Yeah, I did write that, although I didn't write it in the third person as you just presented it.
Is that a true story, Chris?
It is, yes. It was up in Hull last year. A good friend of mine, Emily, was getting married.
Mm.
And Des Barnes was staying in the same hotel, and we kept seeing him at the kind of activities that we'd planned, like he was...
What kind of activities had you planned? It's, that sounds slightly sinister.
Sandcastle making.
Sort of motor racing.
Yeah. Right.
Dancing.
No killings.
No killing, no.
No, good.
Not in Hull.
No. No, exactly. They don't allow it in Hull.
No. Out of town.
And, man, that's quite an anecdote you've got there. You've accrued more exciting celebrity encounters than that in your time as a music journalist.
Yes, but that's, you know, not involving the former Coronation Street stars.
Fair enough, yeah.
You're right. That has a sort of inverse glamour that's more powerful than meeting a famous person.
It's the Six Music demographic, I believe.
Exactly. That's very well tailored.
That's right. Now, Chris, can you tell us about the tracks you've chosen today, please?
Doves, There Goes the Fear.
Oh, yeah. Now, was that from their big-selling album?
Yeah, The Last Broadcast, their second album.
That was the one that sort of broke them through, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's just a superb track. The drumming at the end is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Drumming at the end, we'll keep an ear out for that.
Yeah.
And what's the second track there, Chris?
It's Oh Yeah by Ash off their debut album, 1977.
And we're told that you're in the video. Is that right?
I am, indeed, yes.
Are there lots of people in the video?
Yarmouth. Sorry?
Are there a lot of people in the video?
Yeah, there's about 15 to 20 youngsters. I was about 16 at the time.
Really? Wow. Okay, well, we'll...
Just kind of mooching around.
We'll try and imagine you bopping around, even though we don't know what you look like. We'll just try and guess.
Chris, thank you so much for talking to us today. We really appreciate it, and thanks for your choices. They're excellent.
Not a problem.
Take care, have a good day, and here is Doves.
Thank you, have a good day. Bye.
Bye. It's more of a sexy thing, isn't it? Than a drug thing, I think.
I think it is, yeah. It sounds appealing.
Yeah.
Now, listeners, it's time for the nation's favourite feature. It's time for Text the Nation. Have we got our jingle standing by? Let's roll that jingle.
Jangle it.
Jangle the jingles.
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
It feels like ages since we heard the Text the Nation jingle.
It does, doesn't it? We didn't have it yesterday because it was a special retro day.
It was almost 4 days ago that we lost it.
Oh, it's lovely to hear it again.
It's great to hear it again in its slightly longer form.
Yeah.
Making it clear that even though it's called Text the Nation, you're welcome to submit entries as an email or as a handwritten letter, a fax, a telegram, any way you want to.
Yeah, the text number is 64046. The email is adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. Today's Text the Nation question is, what's the biggest argument you've ever had over the stupidest, smallest thing?
Something that started out as just the germ of a little discussion, and then it turned into a disagreement by way of a contretemps, and then it turned into a giant cataclysmic shout fest, and then maybe spiraled totally out of control and ended in violence or even death.
Now, Adam and me used to make a kind of a homemade comedy show for Channel 4 a few years back, and we worked very closely together under high-pressure circumstances, trying to make little films with toys and stuff. And we used to kind of build up a bit of, you know, bubbly anger and fury with each other. But being, you know, good people, we'd try and repress it, as all human beings do.
Good middle-class boys.
Yeah, you just repress it, keep it inside, try and be polite. But this is what we're getting at. Eventually, all that repressed fury will bubble up, but caused by something nothing to do with the repressed fury. And now, we were saying yesterday, Adam and I suddenly had a huge argument about which was better, the N64 or the PlayStation. We were going to put one of these consoles in one of our links.
Mm.
And I insisted it was the N64. Adam thought that was a stupid idea, that we'd get more viewers if we put the, you know, the argument's going to start again now. If we put the more popular PlayStation in the link.
Because I was thinking, you know, that we have to maximize the amount of people who are going to be able to get the joke of this link and respond to it. And it was about the fact that I think the link was something like, if you play video games
a lot, then you
start to dream about them. Or
you can, if you play video games for a long time, then you can actually play them in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
when you close your eyes without actually having a console.
And I was saying, come on, you got to do Tomb Raider, man. That was the big game at the time. Tomb Raider. That's a game that you can just imagine. You can watch Lara Croft's bottom bouncing around in caves. And Joe was like, no way, man. It's all about the N64.
Mario Kart. I thought it was all about Mario Kart.
And I was like, no.
But anyway, the point is that years of repressed anger between us bubbled up over the issue of the N64 and the PlayStation. The argument wasn't about that at all, was it?
No, it was about...
It was just about how tired and frustrated and in love we were.
That's right.
Wasn't it?
And it ended up with us kissing very passionately on the little bed that we had there.
You've got a similar story, text 64046. What's the biggest argument you've ever had over the stupidest thing? We're looking for a real imbalance here, something really pathetic and an argument that may have turned physical. You know, a spectacular fight over something really retarded.
I've got a couple of examples as well from my home life that I'll tell you in just a second.
Cool.
But right now, here's the Sundays, or maybe just Sundays. I can't quite remember which. All I remember about Sundays, or the Sundays, is that the lady has a beautiful, whiny voice. And here's a track called Here's Where the Story Ends.
That's the Sundays with Here's Where the Story Ends. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. It's just coming up to 8:30. Just to remind you, we're in the middle of our Text the Nation feature, a very important feature. It's a kind of a statistical survey.
It's the nation's favourite feature.
Yeah. The text number is 64046. We're looking for the biggest arguments you ever had over the tiniest things.
Something really trivial that turned into, just mushroomed into a way out of control argument, really heated. And, you know, the madder the consequences, the better. We want to hear exactly what the nature of the argument was and where it went. I'm going to tell you some stories from my home life. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
After the news and some more music. Because, man, you're not going to believe the kind of crazy stuff
that goes on in your house.
That goes on in my house. Also, a couple of things that I do that are coming back to me now from our childhood at school and a few arguments that we had. Anyway, before that, we have the national, international and music news read for you by
Nicola and Ruth.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
It's the Nation's favourite feature. And before that, incidentally, you heard the members with Sound of the Suburbs.
Yeah, they were being evocative about what the Sound of the Suburbs could be during most of the song. And then at the end, they play the sound of a sort of railway station tannoy, thereby being very explicit about what the Sound of the Suburbs is.
That's right. That was also used as the theme to a wonderful show called Sound of the Suburbs with John Peel.
I remember that show.
And that was a great show. I wonder if you can hunt that down on... online, I'm sure you can.
Shall I go and try?
Could you try right now?
No.
Oh.
Because we're in the middle of Text the Nation, our exciting survey of the nation's opinions on important issues. And today, we're asking you what the biggest argument you ever had over the smallest thing was. And we've had some pretty good examples come in. Would you like to hear them, Adam?
Yes, please.
Yes, please. Okay. Ollie in Exeter has texted. He says, the only time I've ever punched someone in the face was when a friend refused to desist from claiming that Steely Dan are crap.
Punched him in the face for that.
It was on his 21st birthday, too.
It's always amazing, isn't it? Music arguments certainly have the potential to spiral way out of control. It's happened to me on a number of occasions.
Punching someone in the face
but punching
on his 21st birthday.
That's a bit much.
Over Steely Dan.
You'd think a Steely Dan fan would settle the argument with wit and wordsmithery.
Yeah,
and
that's
not
amazing,
resort to
Ollie.
Face punching.
How? That's just depressing.
I'm not sure Fagin and Becker would approve of that kind of behaviour, Ollie. But thanks for admitting it to me anyway. I had a massive argument one time. Maybe you were even there, a joke. One time around at Mark's house, and Dom was there, and we got into this conversation about the...
These names won't mean much to the listeners.
No, I'm putting it in context with you. People can relate.
Everyone knows a Mark and
a Dom. Exactly, exactly. Yeah. They're people, okay. They're human beings. And we were talking about using music in adverts. It was around the time that Play by Moby was a big album. And he was using a lot of the tracks for adverts and stuff. And I was towing the whole line about it being a sellout and it's no good and music cheapens the music, you know. And Dom was very fervently on the other side, and he was like, you're just a music snob. It doesn't change the music in any way whatsoever. It doesn't matter. Still, the music is still there, and it's not a problem. And this argument just went way out of control and ended up dominating the whole evening. There were other people around at that point, you know what I mean? But after a while, all the other conversations fizzled out, and it was just me and Dom facing off about the rights and wrongs of music in adverts. It was pretty embarrassing.
How embarrassing?
It was embarrassing.
Here's one from Jessica in Cardiff. The only argument that my boyfriend and I have ever had was just after we moved house, when I discovered that he'd made a unilateral decision to throw away some of those plastic containers that takeaways come in. I can't remember being so angry ever before or again, and we both ended up crying. That's brilliant,
that's
Jessica.
Very good.
Isn't it amazing how irrelevant things can take on, you know, an enormous resonance?
I really like that. Were they collecting them?
Yeah, I guess so. She had a little collection of them because, you know, this is a sexist generalization, but ladies like to put things in airtight boxes.
They love Tupperware.
Generally. In fact, if there was a contemporary remake of the Clint Eastwood film The Beguiled, it would be to do with women putting a cowboy in an airtight box and sealing it tightly so it was kept fresh. I'm just extrapolating, but I imagine that's what happened. And whereas men like to free things.
That's true.
They like to set things free. They don't like things in boxes.
Yeah, particularly
hence
their manhood.
The conflict. Yeah, one more quick one.
I tell you what, why don't we go to your breakfast single of the week, and then we can hear some more of these in a second.
That's a good idea. This is my breakfast single of the week. This is by King Creosote. This is a lovely single. It's called You've No Clue, Do You? King Creosote with You've No Clue, Do You? This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. That's our single of the week. He's starting a tour from the 12th of September. You'll be able to see him in Scotland, in Bristol, in Cardiff and Southampton. And he's fantastic live.
Mm.
Really brilliant. His music almost sounds better than it does recorded.
Right, he's got the musical chops.
He really has. He's brilliant. King Creosote there. We'll be playing that again tomorrow. Now we're in the middle of Text the Nation, the nation's favourite radio feature, where we ask you to text in and, you know, take part in kind of a sort of a survey type thing.
You said the way you said the nation's favourite radio feature, you just tossed it off there like with no irony.
Like it was real.
Like it was a real fact.
You know, but it's because, shall I tell you why?
Go on then.
It's because someone texted in yesterday and said that I sound sarcastic all the time.
Oh,
so I've decided to try and occasionally sound a bit sincere.
That's easily done. I tell you why, listeners, sometimes one can sound sarcastic on the radio. It's nerves, mainly. It's just trying to think of, like, what you're going to say
nerves.
Next. Well, you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean.
It's like not being entirely comfortable, because we're not used to doing it.
I do know what you mean.
That's better. You see, you sound a lot better then. Yeah,
that's a sarcastic noise, isn't it?
A little bit sarcastic.
No. Anyway, so here we go. So this is our text competition. We're asking you to text in stuff that, arguments that sort of mushroomed out of tiny, trivial little incidents. And we've got some good ones here. Does that sound sincere?
That sounds...
Oh, they're really good. Oh, here's some really good ones.
Now you just sound like a Wookiee.
No, that's Yoda. Wait, come on. Our family have those fridge magnets that are letters. And I've always had a certain phrase spelt out on the fridge using some of these letters. One time, Lisa, our producer's giggling, I can't concentrate. One time I saw a letter had been moved to create another phrase, and I asked my brother if he could change it back. He told me that was silly. There was no point in having alphabet fridge magnets if he couldn't use them all. I told him there were plenty of spare letters that he could use. It escalated into him shouting really loud at me and leaving the kitchen with my dinner uneaten on the table to run upstairs, slam my bedroom door really loud.
That's excellent.
When my mum came up to tell me off, I just got even more annoyed and wouldn't talk to anybody until the next day.
Yeah, boy.
That's brilliant. An all-day sulk.
You tell them.
I feel like having an all-day sulk. I haven't had one of those for years.
That's cool.
When I was a kid, my sulks would last 3 or 4 days. As an adult.
3 or 4 days?
Yeah, you know, sometimes over something major.
Holy moly.
Now, the longest sulk I do is probably 45 minutes.
Right, yeah. The longest sulk I can recall in the last 10 years was maybe 2 hours. And then it just becomes embarrassing after.
Well, it's just boring sulking after a bit.
Yeah.
You don't realise it as a kid, but
Who was that text from?
That was from Ash.
That wasn't a text, presumably. That was an email. That would have taken ages to text.
Yeah.
Ash, thanks for that. That was
amazing. Hey, is that lovely Ash who hangs out outside the studio?
Possibly. We met someone very nice called Ash yesterday. And she's
our stalker.
She drew a picture of us. It was really good.
Here's another one. This is from Jez in Manchester.
Yeah.
I hope this isn't true, Jez. I actually ended up self-harming after a huge and long-lasting row with my wife.
Did you read this before you?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I'm being brave. Not wishing to sound like I live in a sitcom, but the argument was about wallpaper. Not choosing it, though, just putting it up. That was quite sad, but it's all good now. Hope this helps Jez in Manchester. You see, I had to read that out as a service to Jez, because he's in treatment.
It doesn't sound much like a sitcom, Jez. At least, it sounds like
sounds
a sitcom
like an Ingmar Bergman film.
Created by Marilyn Manson.
Okay, here's another one. Let's have a more upbeat one. Here we go. I had a row with my sister over a black bin liner for sledging, which ended up with me punching her in the nose, and she bled in the snow.
You what?
From
sounds like
Fiona
a monster.
In Edinburgh. These are hopefully childhood things, not like fully grown adults.
Yeah.
But that sounds like an epic sort of Citizen Kane-y, traumatic childhood incident. You know, a sort of Freudian thing that
absolutely
you'll be suffering the after effects of for the rest of your life.
She's going to have a massive grudge against you. Let's have some more in a second.
Keep texting those 64046 or adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. Keep them coming in.
It's trail time with exciting Calvin Harris news.
And more live music, live in the Six Music Hub.
Hi.
Oh, that's lovely, isn't it?
So you bat your lashes, but why would you bat for lashes?
Bat for lashes? Maybe you have got no eyelashes.
Yeah.
And there's a man with some, and he's having a competition. He's saying, okay, I'm only going to give these lashes to someone who can really bat their eyes really well.
Oh.
Because then it'll really pay off.
I thought it was a cricket competition when you started describing it there.
Really? Bat yeah. for lashes?
Exactly. So listen, chaps.
Maybe they're all bondage freaks, and they're having their bondage people, you know, who like those bondage people mm-hmm. that have mm-hmm. those horrible magazines and
right.
stuff.
Oh, I hate them.
Every year they have a cricket match.
That's right.
And the winner gets whipped. I think that's it.
It could be that. Or the other thing is it could be a sort of gothic thing.
Right.
Are they still called goths? You know, the kids that dress up like
yeah,
goths?
Yeah.
Or have they got a special new name? Anyway, you know,
I think they're called hoobs.
Hoobs. Maybe the hoobs who don't have proper eyelashes, they use a tiny bat like a flying creature. And they
oh, yes.
put it onto their eyes.
And the bat flutters its wings.
Exactly. And that works in the same way that lashes would do.
There you go.
They use a bat for lashes.
That's that name explained.
That's cleared up that problem. That was the name of the band, incidentally. Lovely Natasha Khan, who is Bat for Lashes, basically, isn't she? And that song was called Priscilla.
Now, we've been asking you to text in the biggest rows and arguments you've ever had over the smallest, most trivial things. Here's one from Jane in Glasgow. This is a good one, another music one. My boyfriend stormed out of the house and broke up with me when I argued that Elvis was more successful than Carl Perkins merely because he was white. From Jane in Glasgow. It's a big debate, a big issue, but maybe not big enough to break up a relationship.
I thought Carl Perkins was white as well, though. That shows how much I know.
Here's another one from Claire in Shepherd's Bush. My ex and I had an almighty row that ended in us wondering why we were still together. But it started with a tiff over the rationale of the license fee. That wasn't why we split up, though it would have saved a lot of hassle if it had been. That's a bit mysterious.
I like it when they, I like it when those kind of arguments start over something. And your girlfriend, for no reason, or your wife or whatever, or your husband, or boyfriend, seems to, I was just trying to cover all the bases there. You know, it's a big British castle. You've got to be balanced.
What about interspecies relationships?
Oh, for goodness sake. When your alien partner.
Your animal friend.
seemingly for no reason, just takes the opposing side. Do you know what I mean?
Now, you know what? I've taught my lady partner.
Yeah.
Just to say yes. One of my catchphrases around the house is just agree with me.
What kind of
It's a really good lesson in life. If someone offers you a point of view, the best way to deal with it is go yes and make a point of it. Agree with them. Go yes, you're right. But it could also be said that.
Oh, okay. So
all you have to do is just agree first.
Right.
Then kind of put your argument, but with, you know, a note of I'm not sure whether I'm right or not.
Problem
it's
with
amazing
that.
The difference it makes to your life.
Sure, but
genuinely.
The problem with that is that after a while, she may just lose the will to live. And she just goes, yes, and stops there. And then in 20, 30
that's,
years
that's
time.
What I'm look, that's what I'm aiming for.
You've
just, you're right. You're right.
But yeah, they do,
I usually am.
Partners will often take just the opposing side for a mad reason, end up sort of arguing on behalf of something totally outrageous.
Well, this is the whole point of this texting thing, isn't it? That you're angry for other reasons, and then the person puts a point of view, and you just decide to take the opposite view. You know, for illogical reasons.
My partner does that. My life partner, who I'm married to,
Harry,
and I call her Harry, and she basically, like, sometimes I just like get completely furious and just say, you don't really believe what you're arguing about, do you? We had this massive row one time about the concept of Britishness, right?
Mm.
Like, is there such a thing as Britishness? What would you say to that, Joe?
I'd say you're boring.
Obviously, I'm boring. That's a given.
I'm watching telly.
But with that in mind, would you say there was such a thing as typical things
I'm
that are British?
Frightened.
That everyone.
Yes, I'd agree. Yes, you see, here's my. You see, I'm now going to put my advice into practice. Yes, I think that's.
No, but
true.
Seriously, engage me on this. Just because otherwise, all right. Well, my theory was that yes, there were things that were quintessentially British
yeah.
that the rest of the world like cliches of Britishness.
Hmm.
Things like that.
Harry disagreed.
Big Ben and Grenadier Guards. And red phone boxes and stuff.
Mm.
My partner wasn't having any of it. She said, no, there's no such thing. What are you talking about? No one thinks those things are typically British. And I just sort of, it was just a logic block, you know, and it ended in a massive row. It was a nightmare.
Do you want to chat to me about it during the news?
I'd love to.
Okay. Before that, here's the Kaiser Chiefs. Oh, isn't that nice?
It is nice, but why is it necessary to have that slight sort of freak out there in the last 30 seconds?
It's just filling time.
Well, it sounds as if they're trying to have their cake and eat it, you know, to re-establish their indie credentials, almost as if they're ashamed of the summery tune fest that they've created there. Breaks, I'm talking about, with their single Beatific Visions, which is a lovely song, but I'm just questioning their wisdom of having a little freak section there.
I'm going to change the subject.
Go on, then.
We're in the middle of our text competition, Text the Nation. It's not a competition. Oh, no, I'm going to be killed.
You're going to be all
I'm
killed.
I'm going to be excluded.
Yeah.
But we're asking you what the biggest arguments you've ever had over the stupidest, smallest things are. And we've got some good emails. Can I read you some, please?
Yes, please.
Morning, chaps. This is from Chris at work in London. The worst argument I can remember was over whether Trivial Pursuit is any good.
Mm.
Me and a couple of friends were playing Dungeons and Dragons when the subject of Trivial Pursuit came up.
Nerds.
I love nerds. I offered the opinion that Trivs was a great game, while my friend said it was rubbish. The argument escalated to the point where I, as Dungeon Master, ripped up his character sheet, thereby killing his character.
Oh.
He burst into tears.
I'm quite sure he did.
Wow, that's like tearing up his soul.
How old were you? I'd love to know how old you were. At the time, we were 38.
A lot of arguments start over Trivial Pursuit, don't they?
It's a very divisive game.
Yeah, because sometimes the questions are slightly badly worded. You know, there's an element of ambiguity in the question.
That's true.
And you try and, you know, claim your rights, you know, that you're cleverer than the people that made the game are.
And also, oftentimes, it can seem like the other team is getting a run of easy questions. And, you know, like, the other team will get, like, who is the lead singer of the band
I know it
Coldplay?
Seems unjust. That's absolutely right.
And then, and you'll get, like, who invented quantum physics?
We could almost do a whole other Text the Nation on board game arguments.
Right.
Here's one from Dave in Cardiff. Probably the most pointless argument I had was a few years ago working in an office with workmate Billy.
Oh, workmate Billy.
On the radio in the background was the classic Down Under by Men at Work.
Yeah.
Quoting one of the lines, I asked Billy if he'd ever tried a Vegemite sandwich. He said I was talking rubbish, and the line was, a bit of my sandwich. It flared up into a huge argument with me trying to explain that Vegemite was the Oz equivalent to Marmite, but he wasn't having any of it.
Workmate Billy, what are you thinking?
We didn't speak for 3 days.
Ooh.
To this day, he still thinks I'm talking rubbish.
Man, Workmate Billy, you know you can go on the
Workmate
internet.
Workmate Billy, is he like a doll?
There's a kids'
an
TV program.
Workmate.
The kids' TV program, and it features an ignorant man who refuses to check facts about the lyrics of Men at Work songs by using the internet. Of course it's a Vegemite sandwich, Workmate Billy. I'm with you on that one. What was his name?
His name was Dave.
Dave. Thanks, Dave.
Hi, Adam and Joe. I had a fight with a schoolmate over Tiswas versus Swap Shop.
Ooh, yeah.
Basically, he punched me in the face and knocked a tooth out.
Man, he knocked a tooth out!
I'm pleased to say I was sticking up for Tiswas and was therefore correct. That's from Alan Manager.
Well, that's
no,
the...
No, Manger. Manger? Manger.
Manger. Alain Manger. And he was on the side of Tiswas. That was a big divisive thing. ITV versus the BBC back in those days. It was very much posh boys versus the ruffians, wasn't
it? Yes. Well, Tiswas was an exception to that rule, I'd say.
Why? Tiswas was kind of a rough programme, wasn't
it? Yeah, but it was also strangely sophisticated.
Oh, it was sophisticated. I'm not saying it was for yobbos.
I personally could never... Well, Tiswas was on late, though. Oh, no, that was...
OTT was OTT, on there. Yeah, the spin-off.
Okay, here's one more. This is quite involved. Are you ready?
Yeah, please.
You've got to concentrate to follow this one. This is from Martin.
Okay.
When I was about 22, I drank in a pub in Gloucester and vaguely knew quite a few of the regulars. One night, a group of five or six quite hard men came in after watching Rambo at the cinema. Foolishly, I thought I was in with them and started what I considered to be a light-hearted row with the chaps. I questioned the artistic integrity of said film and its star Stallone.
What a load of lowbrow tripe, I said, to which one of the fellows replied, "It's a brilliant film. Stallone makes loads of money."
My response was, "Well, what about Joy Division? Not much money, but great art." One of the group then queried,
"Joy Division? What film was she in then?"
To which I unwisely uttered, "I rest my case," before strolling confidently home. Okay, fade to black. Couple of days later, fade up. Couple of days later, I saw one of these men across the road and I waved jauntily at him.
Oh.
He merely made a fist and slapped it into his opposite palm. On my return to the pub, I was followed into the toilet by the fellows and threatened and made to apologise. The inn's chef saved me from further damage. I was humbled. It was a daft row and it taught me some serious lessons about pub banter.
Who's that from?
That's from Martin. Martin Cole.
Martin.
I love, that's like a sort of Beano strip. Yeah. I love the, like the thud punching his fist into his palm like that. Does that sort of thing really happen?
Oi!
That's like a landlord shaking his fist at you.
I like Joy Division. What film was she in?
That's very good,
and
Martin.
And then I rest my case. Right, now, Joe, it's time for your free choice.
Yeah, keep those texts coming in, by the way. 64046 or adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. It's time for a sort of a free play. This is Iros Childs, former lead singer of Gorky's Zygotic Monkey. This is called Costa Rita.
That was lovely song there you picked for us, Joe.
That was lovely song.
That was lovely song.
That's from Iros's album Chops, the one before the last, even though the new one isn't quite out yet.
It was his first solo album, Chops, I think.
Yeah, and it's got a marvellous cover, which is a sort of beautiful image made up of pork chops.
Yeah. The new one is called Miracle Inn. I think it's out this month. And
if you like the sound of that, you could pretty confidently just go out and buy both of Iros's albums.
Yeah.
And everyone's a winner.
Everyone's a winner, baby. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Making love to you just sets me free.
Does it?
Yes.
Well,
yeah. Such a thrill. No, that's the word, isn't it? Now, we were talking about arguments, ladies and gentlemen, in Text the Nation today. Arguments that are started fairly innocuously and then spiraled way out of control.
You know what a good example for the sort of science of arguments is?
Mm-hmm.
Not that anyone's watched it this year because it's rubbish, but Big Brother, in years past, used to be a sort of, you know, a genuine social experiment, and it used to be quite fascinating to watch how, you know, repressed anger or frustration with someone else's character would pop up over a tiny little thing. For me, that was one of the most fascinating things about that program.
Well, that's
true. When it used to be good.
Last year, the celebrity Big Brother with, you know, George Galloway and Pete Burns and Chantel and Preston. Yeah, it was beginning of last year.
Yeah, it was, because the controversial one was this year.
Yeah. It was amazing. The arguments that blew up in that house when all those lunatics were in there were Shakespearean. It was extraordinary, and I taped all those shows obsessively, and one day I'm going to watch them back. You could pretty much transcribe them and you'd have like an amazing play, but the stuff they argued about there was demented. And it was mainly Michael Barrymore's fault, as I recall.
Here's one that's coming from Matt. He says, my best friend from 5 to 16 stormed out and never spoke to me again after I fast-forwarded through the sofa gag on the Simpsons episode he'd come round to watch.
No, come on.
That can't be real.
That's not true.
No one's that obsessed with the Simpsons.
If that's really the case, then you are thick.
No, well, the friend, if that's really the case, then, you know, who would want a friend who would sacrifice their relationship with you because of a Simpsons sofa gag?
That's what I mean, you know what I mean? It's insane. It's insane behaviour. You're well shot of that, Guy.
Here's another email that's come in, and this actually sounds like a serious marital rift that is happening in the life of Sasha Darrock Davies. Are you ready for this one?
Go on then.
Saturday just gone, my girlfriend and I had 20-odd people over for a barbie.
Just weird people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before our guests' arrival, I was preparing the last of the food, a basil oil. What? A basil oil to brush skewers with.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, the missus wanted to weed the flower beds, but wanted me to remove the cat pops first. There were some cat pops in
there. That seems a little unfair, yeah.
I didn't want to get cat poppy hands. He's not using the word pop here. I'm cleaning it up for broadcast. I did not want to get cat poppy hands and then return to the food preparation, so I said, I'll do it in a minute, love.
Reasonable.
Then she started on about my food snobbery. Who cares about the food? Who are you trying to impress? Etc, etc. I said, whoa, what? So you're too precious to clean up cat pops? She went mad and threw all manner of kitchen utensils at me.
What?
To which I responded, now this is where I think you step over the line, Sasha Darrock Davies. This is to which I responded with loud playground-like, woos. Now that sound, the woos, is like a sort of international siren of things getting
escalation,
violent, isn't it? It's the argument because you're taking things to the level of a five-year-old. Five-year-olds can't communicate. They just physically brutalize each other.
But you
right?
know, the sad thing is that sometimes the siren is employed to try and diffuse the situation.
Oh, but it never does.
It never does, does it?
It's the worst possible thing you can do.
Yeah.
After all, to hand objects had bounced off my head, she attacked, exclamation mark, and punched me in the side of my head. It hurt. She's only 5'1".
That's harsh, man.
That's the end. Sasha Darrock Davies works for the Bear Film Company in London.
That your life is being lived at a high octane level there, Sasha. Why don't you, can you just tell us if you're still together, just so we don't worry about you? I hope everything's all right there in the...
Now, Dr. Cornish says that in order to defuse that argument, what should you have done? At what point did it
start? I
tell you what you should have done. You should have popped 5 or 6 cat pops on a skewer, brushed them with a little bit of garlic oil, and shoved them in your wife's mouth. That's what I would have done.
Thanks, Dr. Cornish. Music time now. Here's a classic from the Kinks.
Yes. Yes.
That's the Kinks with Autumn Almanac. Now, Damon Albarn must have loved that track as a youth, you know? Because that's pretty much the template for all Blur.
Would you say?
Around the Park Life period.
That's from 1967.
And an amazing song it is, too. And I'm not putting down Blur or Albarn for liking that track and slavishly adhering to its rules therein. Because it's a smash.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are talking about in Text the Nation today arguments that have spiraled out of control, that have started very trivially. And someone mentioned before Trivial Pursuit, and the kind of arguments that can cause. And of course, there are many games that provoke terrible arguments. Scrabble is one of them.
Scrabble.
And you must have had it. You're a bit of a Scrabble fiend, aren't you?
I'm a bit of a Scrabble fiend, but you know, I've got something called a Scrabble Dictionary.
Right.
Which you have to have to hand. And it's got all the words without the boring definitions.
Okay, so you adhere, you just stick to, what if it's not in the Scrabble dictionary, you
well,
can't
the rules
it.
Are, games like this, you've got to agree on the rules before you start playing.
Yeah,
that's the key thing,
yeah.
Isn't it? And I think the rules in Scrabble go that if a word is contested, then you go to the dictionary, is that it? And then what happens if it's wrong? Do you lose a go?
Mm-hmm.
You retract the tiles and lose a go.
Ooh.
Or do you play again? I'm not sure. I'm not that serious a Scrabble player.
You're quite serious though, aren't you?
Well, I'll confess something. We used to play a version where you're allowed to look in the dictionary.
Right.
Yeah. Because it was more fun that way.
You could look it up before you lay the tiles down.
Yeah. Because you used to get incredible scores and learn new words. It was fun.
I suppose. Well, there was one time on holiday. I wasn't actually there for this, but my friend told me all about it.
I was there.
Were you there?
Yeah.
For this big Scrabble game.
Well, keep telling the story. This is the Quick Chop one.
Yeah. Were you really there?
Yeah.
So my friend's dad... Well, maybe you should tell it then.
Well, it was a very posh holiday at a lovely house in Corfu, and a friend of ours' father, who is quite an important man, we were playing Scrabble with him, and he played the word... No, somebody played the word quit. Or was it quick?
Yeah.
I think it was quit.
Quit.
Q-U-I-T, and the friend's imperious father put down J-U-T on the end of quit.
To make quit jut.
Quit jut. We went, hang on a second. We're only about 17 or 18. We went, hang on. Quit jut. Wait, is that a word? Of course it's a word.
Quit jut.
Quit jut.
And then he followed it up with bip.
Bip. He played pip later.
B-I-P.
We said, what does quit jut mean? Well, it's a part of a ship. Is it? Part of a ship?
He got furious about it.
And he was furious because three little straplings had badly sussed him out.
Bip.
And we just started taking the mickey. And dads don't like having a mickey taken out of them by kids, do they? He got really angry. And he only made it worse by playing bip.
Bip is one of my favourite words now.
Bip.
Is it news time?
Here is the news read by Nicola and Ruth. There we go, that's Toots and the Maytals with Pressure Drop. Maybe he was driving and he lost some pressure in one of his tyres.
Yeah, or he just went over a hill and he got that strange, fluffy feeling in his stomach.
Or he maybe he's had his blood pressure checked.
Uh-huh.
There's been a slight drop and he should eat more of that spread, what Carol Vorderman does.
Benicol.
What she makes.
Or...
it's made from her breast milk, is it?
Oh.
Is that wrong to say that?
Yes, it is.
Sorry.
In every conceivable way.
I just heard that recently on the street. That's the word on the street. After an episode of Countdown, she's milked.
Okay. Now, it's Band-Aid time this week, folks. We have inherited this feature from the wonderful Sean Keaveney. Usually, Sean will ask people to vote for a couple of people to vote for a band that they think should be heard on Six Music. This time, we have a couple of amazingly exciting young artists that Joe and I are pitting against each other.
Yeah.
Which is artist number one, Joe Cornish?
Artist number one is an artist called Joe Cornish, who's produced a kind of a Euro... Euro house sort of a track called European Supermarket, and it's a kind of Kraftwerk stroke Pet Shop Boys style exploration into what it's like to go shopping in a supermarket when you're on holiday in Europe.
Sort of urban electronica.
Yeah, so here's a brief snatch of that.
Want somebody help me please?
There we go. That's called European Supermarket. The full version is 1 minute 58 seconds long. If you want to hear the whole thing, then log on to bbc.co.uk/6music and you'll navigate your way. Click on our stupid faces and eventually you'll find a thing where you can vote for either that track or its competitor. Tell us about its competitor, Adam.
Its competitor is by an artist called Adam Buxton.
Mm-hmm.
He's from London.
Not a name I've heard.
No, well, he's a new artist. He's an exciting new artist.
On the scene.
On the scene, Jack White from the White Stripes is a big fan.
Really?
Yeah, and didn't produce this song, but wanted to.
Really?
Yeah. And the track is called Jane's Brain. And Buxton says that it was created after thinking about a girl called Jane and imagining what it would be like if she had a brain.
If she had a brain.
Yeah. And all the things she would... No, she does have a brain. But imagining about the... just, you know, thinking about the things that her brain might do. And that's where the song came from.
Let's hear a clip of it.
She'd use her brain to think of things that she didn't have.
I've had a small heart attack. I've had a minor stroke. That's really good.
It's a rock
and,
song.
So you just, listener, if you care to, if you'd log on to www.bbc.co.uk/6music 6music/shows/Sean_Keaveney/band-aid, all one word, .shtml, that will take you directly to the voting site. Alternatively, you can just go to www.bbc.co.uk and just work it out.
/6music.
It's an important thing, though, this.
Can they hear the whole song on
there?
No,
you can only hear a small snatch.
That's the whole point of the thing. If you could hear the whole song, there would be no point!
Yeah, and because we play the winner at the end of the week, it's very important that anybody listening, anybody who cares, does that and clicks one of those things, because, you know, it ticks all the big British castle boxes.
Yes.
It's interactive. And it's new music. And it's just fun.
Now, album of the day. Album of the day is Super Furry Animals' new long player. And here's a track called Runaway. Check it out.
He's got a sexy voice, that man, doesn't he?
Inside Sport with Gabby Logan. Can you imagine what's inside Sport, Joe?
No, apparently absolutely nothing.
Just air.
Completely empty. It's a void. So before that, you heard a track from the album of the day. That was Super Furry Animals with Hey Venus. No, with Runaway. The new album is called Hey Venus.
It was released yesterday.
Yeah. And it's their first for the Rough Trade label. They've switched labels, apparently. And you can hear more tracks from that album all day here on BBC Six Music. Now, we were telling you earlier that you can vote for our Band-Aid feature, two tracks by new artists. You have to vote for the one you want to hear. You go to the BBC Six Music website, listen to the samples, click on the one you like best. You can also leave a comment there.
Can you?
Yeah, you can leave a little message. Jason from West Yorkshire has left a message. He says, both tracks are as good as each other. Honestly, they are. So I make my choice by having a cough war with myself. I coughed twice, and the noise which startled my cat more won. It was my Joe cough, which proved louder and more startling to Otis, which is his cat.
Oh dear. That's not... I mean, what's that?
That's a message.
Is that the way you
Someone's
vote
left.
As well? What's his name?
His name is Jason. I liked the sound of Jason.
Jason.
I think he sounds like a good
guy.
In the
polling booth, both parties have things to recommend them, so I'm going to have a little cough game and put my vote in the Tory box, because...
That's how all national decisions should be made, but with coughing and the way cats respond to them.
Fair enough.
Cats are very wise.
Now, it's
the
almost...
Egyptians worship them. I'm going to carry on talking.
Are there other cat facts? Yeah. Come on, come up with three cat facts.
They like to eat meat.
Right.
Feminism is based on ancient cat history.
Fact
according
three.
To Jermaine Greer. And ancient my cat's cat called Macy.
Macy.
Yeah.
Three cat facts there from Joe Cornish. Now here's the Yeah Yeah Yeahs with Maps. That's good stuff, isn't it? That's Yeah Yeah Yeahs with Maps. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, covering for Sean Keaveney.
Just a quick technical problem that might have happened with the Band-Aid website voting thing.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks from Daniel from Durham, who sent us a very nice email saying that both links play the same song. We're having that investigated by BBC Technical Monkeys. If that is the case, there will be an execution outside the Big British Castle, and someone will be beheaded by... Who runs the BBC? Mark Thompson?
Like Michael theirs. Jackson, the pop star.
Michael Jackson, the disgraced pop star, will be beheading a BBC monkey outside the Big British Castle, so all big British peasants can come and throw fruit at them.
The rotten tomatoes.
Yes.
Also, a little bit of house cleaning from earlier on. There was a bit of controversy about the pronunciation of Euros Childs' name.
Yeah, you see, I read a thing... We know Euros, well, we kind of used to pretend we did, because we filmed
we
a segment with them, and
twice.
We're kind of in love with... Gorky Zygotic Monkey, and so we pretend we know him, and we used to know how to pronounce his name, right?
Yeah, well, they sort of said, we started off saying, is it Euros?
It's spelt E-U-R-O-S. I guess Welsh listeners can give us the definitive answer to this, but he's such a sweet guy, he never, if you pronounce it wrongly, he never
no, he said that's fine.
Gets angry, he doesn't really mind.
So, and one of the other band members said it's more like Eros. And so we did that, but then we went a little too far. How did you pronounce it just then?
Well, in the new, I've been wavering. I kind of forgot how to pronounce it again. And there was a profile of him in one of the papers on the weekend, and it said, in brackets, pronounced Iros. E-Y-E-R-O-S. Iros. So I've been thinking, right, good, that's the definitive answer. I'll pronounce it Iros. That's what I've been doing. But then Someone texted in and said that we were doing it wrong.
You shouldn't. And the thing is, at the BBC, bad pronunciation is grounds for torture.
It cannot be tolerated. And not in CBBC. If you work for the children's castle, the bouncy castle,
yeah,
behind the main castle,
the big bouncy castle,
then the worse your pronunciation is, the more likely you are to rise to the top. Yeah.
That's
but
right.
But here in the old big British castle, owned by the National Trust, we have to cross our T's and dot our P's.
Exactly. Now it's time for my free choice. This is a track from Travis's latest album, which is called The Boy With No Name, I think. And I love this song, and it's very sort of winsome and sweet. I guess that's what Travis are like, aren't they? Love them or hate them. I personally love them. And this is called Sailing Away.
Oh, I'd like to go on a canal boat holiday and play that.
I love that song. That's Travis from their album The Boy With No Name. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. That's pretty much it for our show today. Just before we leave, I'd like to say thank you very much indeed to everyone who texted us and emailed us. Fantastic.
Fantastic teats.
Teats. You've got fantastic teats. Look
hey, that's a polite way of saying a rude word we just discovered. We can run with that. Teats.
Just before we leave as well, I've been fascinated.
She had beautiful teats.
We have, I'm going to gloss over that, the TV on in the corner here in the studio, and I've been fascinated by Kate Garraway's hair. She presents GMTV, and I want you tomorrow morning, folks, to check out her hair and then talk to me about it, because there's something insane going on there.
Yeah, hair, yeah. That's it from us today. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back between 7 and 10 tomorrow morning. Coming up, Anita Rani with Calvin Harris live in the Hub.
Whoa.
So stay tuned. This is Crumble by Dinosaur Jr. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Cheerio.